We usually like the beginning of something, don't we? It gives us a bit of hope for the future. Endings, or sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we look forward to something new and different. Beginnings. Looking at a time in Israel when they were needing and looking forward to something different. But what an unlikely hero to come along in the form of Samson. So, certainly I wouldn't want my children, my son, to emulate Samson. Yes, he's nice and big and strong. I'm watching you. But he was a womanizer, he was a drunk, he was cruel to animals, he was a disappointment to his parents. He even went and he married a Philistine woman, which was prohibited. So he really was the unlikely hero. But the interesting message is that God can still use, and did still use him, despite of all his sin and his weaknesses. And if we are probably easy to be critical of Samson, and we can look down on him, but really, are we much different ourselves? The truth is bad. Good people can do bad things. We don't always intend to do bad things, but yet we do. We really shouldn't, but sometimes we just can't help ourselves. In Samson's case, it looks like many times it was intentional, but God still used him. Sometimes you can try and understand it by looking at his lifestyle and saying, well, just imagine if the Holy Spirit or God came to your parents and said to your parents, this is the lifestyle that your children will live, taking on a Nazarite vow, which is an abstinence from alcohol, not eating certain food from the vine, not touching dead animals. Those were some of the parts of the attributes of the Nazarite vow. It was a vow that was usually only for a period of time, for a few weeks or a month. But in Samson's life, it was meant to be for a lifetime. So imagine how much must have felt if you were Samson growing up, and all the time when you're at school and your hair was getting too long, and you said, Mom, I look uncool, can you please cut my hair? Sorry, son, you can't do that. When he gets old, there's all his pals going out to drink or having a beer or whatever, and he says, sorry, son, you can't do that either. He grew up in that. So it might have been a bit of him balking against the establishment, because it wasn't a vision, but we can see that God came to Samson directly, it was through his parents. So before we're too critical of Samson and his life, there were some difficulties that he would have had to deal with. But the wonderful thing is God still used him. I must say, in preparing this message, I was thinking, just imagine how much more successful he could have been if he had just followed God and obeyed his commands for him. I think it would be even a better picture than what it really is. But the encouragement for us, it doesn't matter who we are or what we are like, God can and will still use us. Today we're looking at Judges 13, and in verse 1 it reads, and the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So we've seen what he's done here. He's hit the scene for where the Israelites were at. They were sitting underneath the very real walls of this powerful nation, the Philistines, who had subdued them. From this passage, we can see that because of the evil that they have done, God handed them over to the Philistines. God didn't cause evil to happen to them, but what often I think God does in times when people just behave badly to one another and break all the commands. The commands he's given to us are so that we can live in a community with one another, live in harmony with one another, live in love with one another. And God stands in between us and the enemy. And sometimes God, like we saw in the story, just steps aside and says, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to step aside. So you can see why I stand in between you and why these commandments and rules are for real. They are there to protect you. Now, to try, great that Jeff Lucas can take us into the Middle East to see what it was looked like in those days and the Middle East right now. But to try and have a bit of a taste of what it was like to be living in the land as the Israelites in the Philistines era, I take it most people here above the age of 25 or 30 have seen Braveheart. If you're a Scot, you haven't seen Braveheart, I'd question your nationality. if you're younger, probably not a scene for the young folk, but there are some scenes in Braveheart you may remember that the magistrates, the lords of the land could do at the time of betrothal. If you remember those scenes, that was meant to subdue. growing up in South Africa, in apartheid South Africa, if you were a black male or black person in South Africa, you weren't even a citizen. You weren't good enough to even be considered a citizen of the country. You just did what you were told and what you had to do. That was the time that the Israelites found themselves in the Philistines. They were growing crops. That's where the Philistines wanted to go and have something they could just come in and take. They could do what they want. The Israelites could do nothing to stop them. Their freedom was gone. Their peace had been denied. It was hopeless and loveless. I don't know where you find yourselves today. If we try and take us back to ourselves and apply it to ourselves, what is subduing you? What is denying you of the freedom that we can have in Jesus? Is it a financial crisis? Is it debt? Is it relationship or relationships? Is it a marriage that you just want to give up and walk away from? Is it a job that's just either demanding too much or asking you to do something that you're not comfortable with? Or is it some health issue? What are the walls that you are living under today? There is hope, and this is what beginnings are all about. And this is what the message of Samson in Judges 13 is all about, beginnings. Now, I like to use acrostics. They help me remember things. So I'm using an acrostic again today, and the acrostic is Alpha. For a few reasons, firstly, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, A for Alpha and all the way to Omega. Alpha is also used often in the Bible when God says something is about to begin. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God uses Alpha as the beginnings. And then one practical one for today is I think we'd probably all agree that Samson's a bit of an alpha male, isn't he? Butch, stupid, that's ridiculous stuff. But that's what we're going to use today as Alpha. So to start off with A, how do we get out of our mess? Well, ask God for help. That's the very first thing that we can do. We can ask God for his help. It's a normal thing we do. If we're not feeling well, we go to the doctor, don't we? And we ask the doctor for help. If our car breaks down, we go speak to a mechanic. We ask them for help. God is there. God is real. He wants to be part of our lives. So ask him. Ask him for help. I'm going to read a passage from Samuel. It's a long passage, so bear with me. It's also got difficult names, so just bear with me as I try to pronounce these names, and it's from Samuel 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zaphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elu, the son of Tuhu, the son of Zaph, get there, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Eli was the high priest. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peniah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and could not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. There's her asking. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she had been drinking beer or wine. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they rose and worshipped God before the Lord, and they then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked the Lord for him." Asked the Lord for him. God wants us to ask. That's what he's saying. Ask. Judges 13, verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and have a son." God stepped in. We can see from that story, he appeared to Manoah's wife. He doesn't have a name, it's just Manoah's wife. And God answered the prayer of the Israelites and brought along a son to a woman who was barren, who couldn't have children. So ask. We can see from the life of Samuel and the life of Samson, ask and you'll receive. If you love God and you are his child, he wants to hear from you. Just ask. So easy. That puts us at number two, the L. Let God into your situation. Sometimes the asking part can be the easy part, but letting God into the situation can be a little more tricky. Because sometimes we find when God comes in, there are some things that need to move out. Sometimes those issues, those bastions that we are living underneath, sometimes they are of our own doing. And maybe we like them, maybe we don't. But we need to do some house cleaning. So we're going to need to let God in to the situation. If you look at Judges 3, verse 8 to 14, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born." He's just being a man. He's wanting to know practically, "I've heard the promise, but what does that mean for me?" That's what he's doing here. That's how he's letting God in. He's saying, "I don't know how to raise this boy. In fact, you didn't even appear to me, you appeared to my wife." So he's thinking practically, what does this mean? What must I do? So we can see here, and the Lord God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord again came again to the woman, not to him, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, "Behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me again." So she ran and she grabbed hold of him and said, "Come on, this angel is here again." And Manoah rose and went with his wife, and they came to the man, and they said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life, and what is his mission?" And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, or eat anything unclean. All that I've commanded her, let her observe." God had set apart Samson to be a lifelong Nazarite. Had to start already in utero. God already said to the wife, "This is the way your son is going to be. This is the way you need to be while he is within you." We've got to let God into our situation. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we don't want to. Sometimes it's rather uncomfortable. But we can't progress further on if we don't let him. Let him do his work. Let him start to do his work. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it's difficult. But let him in. It brings us to number P. Put your faith in his response. Put your faith in his response. That can be a tricky one sometimes. Because although we need to use our common sense, God has given us a brain and he asks us to use it. Sometimes when he comes and he does work, he comes with something that doesn't make sense. We just think of, say, Noah who built an ark. In the middle of dry land. God said to you, I am going to wipe out and start again. You need to build an ark. Doesn't make any sense. You should have gone to the coast and built it. And that's why he got lots of ridicule and lots of laughing at him. But we need to put our faith in his response. And you can underline the word faith. Because not always, but sometimes, it's going to require us to do something different, something unusual, before we see the blessing. And think of the time when the disciples were in the boat and they were fishing. And they've been fishing all night. And Jesus said, just throw your nets out the other side of the boat. Now I'm sure there's some fishermen in this room. And what difference would it make if you just turned around and faced the other direction and threw your net out or your line out? But they caught so much fish in that catch that there was too much for the boat. They had to bring their partners across to pick it up. God does work in the supernatural. So expect the supernatural to happen. But don't expect it to make common sense. And that's where putting your faith in his response is so important. Samson had unusual superhuman strength. He wasn't just a muscle builder. I mean, you can see that Jeff Lucas says he might have even been disabled. Nobody really knows. He seems like a kind of a lazy guy. I doubt he was at the gym every day. And we know that when eventually God, when we'll see it later on in later episodes, God withdrew his spirit. And at that point, he was just a normal man, like everybody else. Judges 13:15-21. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. For Manoah did not know that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we can honor you. But the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? So Manoah took the goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flames went up towards the heavens from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife. And then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. Manoah got a wonderful illustration there of why he could trust him. He had been visited by somebody supernatural, something very unusual. That helped him. But if we think of our own circumstances, it's not often that we see something supernatural. But if you feel the Spirit of God moving it within you, then be prepared and get yourselves ready. What a wonderful opportunity that would be for you if you could have something like what Manoah and his wife had, an angel of the Lord coming to visit them and the demonstration. It made it so much easier for them to put their faith, however, in God. But however, we have the Word of God, the Bible, and it really can help us. And I've got another verse here which I want to share with you, Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Sometimes it can be hard, especially if it doesn't make sense. But he says, trust in him with all your heart. Not some of it. He says, lean. If you had to lean against a wall, you would trust that it would hold you. If you had against a wall that would collapse, you wouldn't lean against it, would you? Or if it did, you certainly wouldn't do that again. God says, lean on his understanding, even if it doesn't make sense to you. Even if it doesn't make any sense whatsoever in the circumstance in which you find yourself, you can trust him. If he has said, this is my promise to you, be faithful to that. Stand firm in that. Because he will hold you up. And he will keep you and take you through that particular crisis or period of your life. Get to some more encouraging parts now. H. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. We've looked at, firstly, ask God, let him into your situation, put your faith in his response, and then finally, well, not second, last, help is on the way. Judges 13:24, and the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. Help is on the way. The hope for her was that she was no longer barren. She had a son. In those days in Israel, having a boy was very important. It was someone to carry on the legacy, someone to take hold of the family property. That's very important in Jewish culture and in Israelite culture. God had gifted each family land. And so he needed a male to hand it over to. So the boy child was very precious. So for her, this was like a double blessing. It was she had a boy, since she had a boy child, and there was an answer to Israelite, the Israel's problem. She knew that there's something to be something special about this boy. And I think it's really exciting to have to be made aware of that, and for her and for the Israel, knowing it is now happening. Help is on the way. He was just a boy. He's just a boy, but he's going to be a man one day. I don't know where you're at in your difficulties in life or your crises. It may look small, but it's going to be something big. The sun rises. When it rises, it's very small on the horizon. But by midday, it'll light up everything. There's no shadow. Help is on the way. We need to be patient. There's a great word, stoic. Sometimes we have to have that fortitude just to bite and button it down. God put them into a situation. For 40 years, he stood back and he just let whatever happen. It was done that way, I think, so that the Israelite would realize who it is that God is. That he is the Lord of all. He loves his people. They can't demonstrate his love unless sometimes he steps away and lets the awfulness come through. And then he can step back in again. Beginnings. Help is on the way. Romans 8 verse 28. If you find yourself in a desperate situation, and we know that all things, not some. We know that all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He works for the good. You may sit down and think, well, I don't know why I'm struggling with this. God will turn it into something good. That might be a week away, it might be a month away, it might be many years away. I was thinking about this, I don't know how to share this, but it was something that Jill shared with me just the other day, in fact just last night, and it makes it real. Is I hope I can say this, but it's just about her uncle, who all his life hasn't followed Jesus, and it was her grand's prayer that one day he will come to know Jesus. Out of all the children in the family, he's the only one that has defied God. And I've met him. He's a clever man, interesting guy to listen to, written a few books. I have a great deal of admiration for him. Well, he's a feisty fella, I must say, I admire that as well. But he's defied God all his life. And his dying prayer from his mom, that was that, in fact, Jill will say it probably better than me, but when he was born, it was a difficult birth, and she had prayed, said, God, if he's going to live, I want him to come to know you, otherwise take him now. And he lived. So she died while he was still not in part of the family of God. And she was just saying last night that they're going through a very difficult time. He's in the 80s now, but they're going through a difficult time. And I must say, just for me, I almost wonder, this is the beginnings. He's had an interesting life. He's witnessed a lot of things. His family has, you know, had many ups and downs. So he's got a great opportunity to see how there's other siblings who all follow Jesus and how all live for God. They followed him and they have pretty normal families. God has blessed the rest of the family. But his children have some struggle with relationships and with different issues. And I just wonder, this may be the beginning. And this is our prayer as a family for him. That he, maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the beginning. Maybe this is a time. The hardships, you see, that when they come in, they help us to focus. We wouldn't focus if we didn't go through hard times. Now, the simple analogy was when in the army in South Africa, the food was atrocious. But the reason the food was atrocious and didn't give us much was they said, a soldier who's hungry is awake. A soldier whose tummy is full is going to go to sleep. God sometimes allows us to go into these things. One, to show us he loves us, he loves you. And other times, because he can work something amazing through it and show and demonstrate his love and what he's keeping us from. He's using it to perfect you and to make you into somebody special. And the last A, firstly, ask God. Let him in. Put your faith in his response. Help is on the way. And a victory is around the corner. Yes, you may be patiently waiting for many years, but a victory is around the corner. And this last section I'm finding quite difficult as I was preparing this. And it's from Judges 23, verse 25. And it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Manah, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol." And the Spirit of the Lord stirred. I think that's an amazing thing. The one part I like about Revelation so much is that God's sitting on the throne. He is king of everything. Yes, sometimes he steps aside and he lets bad things happen, but then he does that for a reason. He comes back to demonstrate his love and his power and his strength. But when his Spirit stirs, we know something's going to happen. I just picture the throne room in heaven, and it says in Revelations that at the end of time, God goes, "Enough. That's enough." Those words in the back of me, the hair in the back of my neck stands up. Just like when a Spirit stirred. Because God's saying, "Enough. I've had enough. I'm going to do something." And when God does something, he does amazing things. He doesn't do things quietly. He doesn't do things hidden where he exposes everything. All evil will be exposed. Everything that stands against him will be wiped out. Everything good will be drawn out and brought to the front. Darkness will flee, it says, in the front of the throne room of heaven. When God arises, it's enough, it's ended. It's over. He's going to be there. He's going to demonstrate, "I love my people. And I'm going to pay back his enemy, my enemy, for all the wrong that he has done." God will demonstrate his power. That's the power of our God. He can work in our lives, demonstrating that power to us if we just but let him. I hope that this morning, as we've gone through Judges 13, you'll see how God works. God sends the right person at the right time to do the right thing in your heart, in your life. If it looks like it's far off, hang in there. Don't give up. A victory's round the corner. If you sense the Spirit of God stirring in you, get yourselves ready. This is exciting stuff. Don't sit there and go, "Well, I don't know about this." Let God's Spirit work. If it's truly the Spirit of God, he will lead you through. My prayer for you is that God will stir in you in his Spirit, like he did in Samson and Eshtol. That Spirit will stir in you. He'll give you the strength that you need to get you through your situation, to bring you through to the end. That'll be my prayer. But before I ask the band to come up, before I pray, this is a very powerful series, a very exciting series. And I'm going to steal the words from a well-known orator called Winston Churchill. It was at about the time in history when the Israelites found themselves in the Philistine era, when the war was being waged, Nazi Germany. At every theater of operations, the German war machine trumped the British war machine. There must have been a great deal of despair and hopelessness. Britain was subdued, anxious. The Germans could invade at any time. They were already in France, getting their armies ready to cross the channel. In North Africa, Rommel and his armies were just, at every opportunity, just trouncing the British war machine. They had no answer, no hope. They were desperate. And suddenly in 1942, at an unknown town, not then, but now, we all know it, El Alamein, British war machine not only stopped the German war machine, but started to push them back. Britain must have thought, "Wow, this is amazing. We have an answer. We know the Germans can be beaten. We can step. We think we know what it is." And so Britain would have been encouraged. They'd been confident and excited, knowing that, yes, after 3 years, the Germans could lose the war. Churchill, realizing this, didn't want to dampen enthusiasm. But I'm pretty sure he also knew that there'd be many more battles to fight. So he chose these very wise words. And this is a great words I leave with you. And as you look forward to the next episode, is this is not the end, nor is this even the beginning of the end. But it's perhaps the end of the beginnings. So I do hope that you'll be next week for episode 2 called The Riddler. I'm just going to pray as the band come out. Lord, we thank you so much that you are indeed an awesome and a mighty God. Lord, thank you that so much as you love us and you care for us. And you invite us to bring our problems to you, to bring our difficulties to you. Lord, we thank you for all those who believe, all those who have accepted you as their Lord and Savior. Your Spirit resides in us. You have found your home in us. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will arise in our hearts today as we leave this place, and even now as we sing this last song. I pray that your Spirit will be felt in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that you'll arise in us a spirit of courage and boldness, a spirit of patience to stand firm even when things around us look so hopeless. But I pray that your love will pour out upon us all, and we'll see your great love, the great love that you have for mankind, that you sent your Son into the world to die for us, and he rose again to prove that you can overcome any difficulty, any problem, that death could not hold you, the grave could not contain you, and that you are now in heaven, seated on the throne, and one day you will say, this is enough, and you will return. And I pray that we will be ready. I pray that your Spirit will stir in Motherwell, in Lanarkshire, and Scotland. But I pray that you will come and people will see your great love, see your great mercy, see the wonderful plans that you have for us. So Lord, I pray and ask that your Spirit will be here with us this morning as we close off, and we will leave from this place filled with your Spirit, that maybe we could possibly be the Samsons in our community, winning souls for you, pointing people towards closer to you. So we pray this, Lord, in your name, and thank you for all that you have done and given to us. Amen.